Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, welcome to Sustainable Singapore with me, Rhianne Lovell-Boland. This is where we get the lowdown on everything green. Now, in a landmark moment across the meat industry, Singapore became the first country in the world to approve the sale of a lab-grown meat product last December. Now, lab-grown meat, better known as cultured meat, entails retrieving animal cells through methods such as biopsies and then multiplying them in bioreactors. It's been gaining in popularity as the process avoids having to slaughter animals and cuts out the environmental footprint of the livestock sector, which, according to the UN, contributes to about 15% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So how can Singapore become the world's clean meat headquarters for new cell technology? Well, joining me on the line to share more is Viknesh Krishnankutty, founder and CEO of Cellevate Technologies. Good to speak with you this morning.
Very good to speak to you too. Thank you for having me.
Let's first start off with, what exactly is cell culture and how does it work?
So cell culture is basically the growing of cells in the lab, right? So imagine farming or growing plants. You need soil, you need proper nutrients, and you need the seed, right? So in the same way, in cell culture, the seed is the cell itself, and then you have proper nutrients in the form of the media broth that is used to grow the cells. And in many cases, you need a certain substrate for the cells to grow onto. That's like the soil, right? So there are different facets to cell culture in order for these cells to grow in a way that's best for them.
So I kind of touched on it a little bit in the introduction, but I mean, how are these cells extracted and which animals can they come from?
So in the traditional cell biology setup, that really depends on the study we are doing. But for the application of cultured meat, the animals we are looking at are really the animals that people eat, right? So it would be like pork, bovine, chicken, and different seafood. At this stage, we are trying to mimic the food from animal husbandry or from seafood.
Yeah. And I mean, as you said, Cellevate's mission is to reduce animal slaughter by enabling the clean meat revolution. So could you just share with us more about how much you aim to reduce and by when?
That's a great question. So if you ask me, I would say 100%, and by when would be as soon as possible. But that, of course, is the goal, right? So there are many factors at play before we can completely replace or reduce animal slaughter. So some of these would include the media cost, the availability of the appropriate cells, and of course, the people's acceptance of eating lab-grown meat. Right, so all of these things have to come together before this revolution can actually take place. And Cellevate's contribution is really to help accelerate the cell growth by providing a way for cells to grow in a scalable, three-dimensional manner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to touch on the cost a little bit later. But I just had another question in regards to obviously reducing animal slaughter. So can these cells be extracted with the animal still alive?
Definitely. So it's really like a biopsy. So a small amount of cells are taken from the animal and then they're grown in a laboratory setup where the specific cells are isolated and expanded. Once we have enough cells, this goes into a larger scale bioreactor that completely scales up the production and then it's processed into meat as we know it. From the animal's perspective, the goal is to just take a pinch or a biopsy, you know, so the animal feels almost nothing.
And you previously mentioned, you know, attitudes to eating cell-grown meat. So can you just walk us through the ethical case for lab-grown meat? And also, are consumers' attitudes, you know, changing in a more positive way?
So great question, you know, because these are the things on everyone's mind. In terms of the ethical case, right, there's a very famous quote by Paul McCartney that goes something like, if slaughterhouse had glass walls, everyone would be a vegetarian. You know, so I think that nicely summarizes the unethical conditions within the meat industry. So there are other implications to this too. Apart from these ethical considerations, there's also the health profile of the meat we eat and of course, what you mentioned, the environmental footprint. So with regards to acceptance, it really depends on why people are abstaining from meat in the traditional sense, right? So if it's due to ethical and environmental reasons, then this is the best alternative because we're still producing meat as meat, right? We're not producing a plant-based alternative. But at the same time, the unethical conditions are completely eliminated. And from modeling studies, we show that in terms of greenhouse emissions, the numbers can be reduced by more than 75%. And then when we look at other factors such as clean water, the use of land, forestation, right? So it compounds to a lot. So based on these vital points, has this knowledge disseminated to public, I think the acceptance would be much higher.
So you said 75% reduction in the environmental footprint of livestock. So, I mean, can you just tell us, are there any harmful chemical byproducts of maybe lab-grown meat?
So what some writers talk about is they try to equate the cell-based meat space with the pharma space, right? And so we know that within the pharmaceutical sector, there are many hazardous materials coming out. But with regard to cell-based meat, this is not the case because every component that's used to grow cells are coming from so-called healthy source or plant-based sources, you know, because at the end of the day, it has to be edible, right? So the goal is to have every component within the whole value chain to be eco-friendly. So with regards to the harmful components coming out, it's really minimal.
I guess even the meat industry itself has quite a lot of, you know, harmful chemicals, you know, antibiotics and things like that that people do consume within meat, which is, I think, a big reason why a lot of people have gone either flexitarian or vegan during the pandemic.
That's right.
Let's now move on to talk about the price, which you kind of spoke a little bit about at the beginning, because how much does it really cost to grow cell-based meat in comparison to traditional farming methods?
I mean, this is one of the biggest hurdles we need to overcome before this kind of meat becomes mainstream, right? So a few years ago, it cost about $300,000 for a cell-based meat burger, right? Which is out of the world.
Yeah, crazy.
It's crazy. But the good news is now that number is below $100. So we can see the scale from $300,000 to $100, and this number is only going to go down. So it's just a matter of time before we can reach price parity, you know. So like I mentioned briefly earlier, there are different components that play a part, right? One is the media cost. But what Cellimate is doing is that we are providing the best kind of substrate to enable these cells to accelerate their growth, whatever the media, whatever the cell being used. And we have seen that we are able to further reduce the price by about 60%. You know, so when all of these components come together, you know, I think it's just a matter of time before we are talking about the same price scale or maybe even lower.
So going from 300,000 to 100, how have lab-grown meat companies, you know, overcome the challenges of making lab-grown meat work at scale? Because obviously going from 300,000 to 100, there's been a significant drop in price.
That's right. So there are many innovations that has been going into this. For example, in the traditional sense, certain ingredients, certain nutrients used to come from the animal itself, but now they are coming from plant-based alternatives, which have, in some cases, it's coming from insects. And according to the numbers produced by these manufacturers, they are talking about 1 or 2% of the actual cost that if they got it from traditional animal sources, right? So there are many innovations like in the media, in the cell type, and also economy of scale, right? As they try to scale things up, ramp things up, prices do come down. So to summarize, I think it'll be a combination of novel innovation as well as economy of scale.
So when might we see cultured meat being a staple on dinner tables all around the world? Because obviously it's still got a bit of a way to go.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of way to go. But with the effort from the government, from different companies, from investors, I say maybe the next 5 years.
Wow, that's quite soon in the near future then.
That's right. I'm very optimistic about this because I think it's only going to get faster with all the efforts going in.
So, I mean, now let's turn our attention to Singapore because last December it became the first country to approve the sale of a cultured meat product. So do you think this highlights how Singapore is a leader in the clean meat revolution?
Most definitely. I think Singapore is doing an exceptional job from different angles to make this a reality. From a regulatory perspective, you know, you have SFA, you have Fresh, and then you have NTU starting their own undergraduate program. You know, so all these things are going to provide a synergistic effect in actually making this a reality. And I think we are very blessed to be in Singapore, you know, where you have the backing of the government to do something like this. Because I can imagine how, you know, it would be possible for some governments to think this is science fiction and not even put in any effort. But I think we are really blessed to be in Singapore.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the Nanyang Technological University will be rolling out a new undergraduate course that actually is just going to focus on meat alternatives. So how much is the field of cellular agriculture actually expected to grow in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think it's going to be enormous, right? So what's going to happen is that I think that we already have plant-based meats in the market, right, with Impossible and so on. So I think these guys are going to be getting better. Right, there are going to be new innovations in the plant-based sectors that's going to open doors and open hearts to the acceptance of alternative meats. And then moving forward, the cellular agriculture is going to come in and the acceptance is just going to skyrocket. And when you have something like an undergraduate program, the word would spread, you have more people entering into the industry at different levels. Naturally, you have more innovation. And so it's just going to be a compounding effect, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years. So this is partly the reason why I predicted within the next 5 years, we can see it on our dinner table. But apart from that, I think in the background, many things are going to happen. And it's really going to be due to the foresight or the far thinking of the Singapore government.
So, I mean, you touched on plant-based there because there is a huge boom in plant-based products. So we mentioned about attitudes to eating lab-grown meat, but do you think people who have, you know, now maybe gone vegan or are embracing plant-based products will then go back to maybe lab-grown meat? Is that something that, you know, companies need to try and entice these consumers back to meat?
We need to understand what's the fundamental reason why they moved away from meat to begin with. If they just don't want to have animal meat in their body, you know, then they are not going to be enticed by cellular agriculture in any way. But if the reasons are due to ethical concerns or environmental concerns, then I think they will be very enticed to try these alternatives because this provides meat, right? The meat is still meat, but without the ethical or the environmental issues that come with it.
And some people, I mean, move away from meat for health reasons. We're seeing with a lot of plant-based products that they're actually better for consumers. So could you just share a little bit more about the nutritional profile of meat grown in a lab?
So with this technology, meat is still meat, right? But we're no longer limited by the animal. Now, that is very, very powerful because we are able to actually increase or tailor the nutritional needs with the meat we produce. So this is the vision we at Cellivate envision. Now that meat is not limited by the animal, our vision is to create personalized meats that can meet the nutritional needs of different consumers, right? So the analogy I like to use is imagine a coffee machine type setup for meat production, right? So if you want less fat, you can put that in. If you want more protein, you can put that in. Perhaps you want to add some fiber. Why not? So you put your requirements in, you wait a few days, and then you get the meat. So that's the kind of possibilities that Cellivate is working toward. This technology and this space grows. You know, these are kind of the things that are possible that otherwise are not possible when we are completely reliant on just the animal.
So personalized meat can be a thing of the future. Wow, that's pretty incredible. But I mean, apart from that, what else is the future plans for Cellivate Technologies?
So we are presently, like every startup, we are raising funds, right? We are presently raising our seed round to expand our production facility and our team. We recently developed our own self-assembled three-dimensional meat at a fraction of the cost. So we are in the process of IP application. So our goal over the coming months is to actually incorporate different components, like what I mentioned about personalized meat. So we want to incorporate different components like fat and to showcase our first personalized meat towards the end of this year, early next year. That's where we are moving towards.
That's really fantastic. I mean, I can't wait to see what the future of cell-based meat brings. It's going to be an exciting scene to watch, I think.
Most definitely. I think in the years to come, it'll be something that is taken as mainstream and slowly our reliance and dependence on animal husbandry would go down.
I've been speaking with Viknesh Krishnankutty, founder and CEO of Celevate Technologies, on how cell culture technology is enabling the clean meat revolution. Thanks so much for joining me, Viknesh.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm Rhianne Lovell-Boland. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.